The Old Testament reading for this fifth Sunday in Lent is from Isaiah chapter 43. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians, the third chapter. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and lent it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, and they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one they also wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them, but they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies, who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is the gospel lesson. It's the parable of the vineyard. The tenants had been put in charge of the vineyard. They were to take over the vineyard, take care of it, and give the owner of the vineyard a certain portion of it. And Jesus says they beat and mistreated the servants and would kill the owner's son. Then he asks a question. What is the owner of the vineyard going to do? He doesn't leave it as a open question like he did in last week's parable of the prodigal son, whether or not the eldest son would go into the banquet or not. In this parable, Jesus says exactly what the owner of the vineyard will do. The parable starts with, a man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. That is a used picture that Jesus does several times in several parables, that the owner of the property leaves for a period of time and puts his servants in charge. The owner of the vineyard in this parable is God. The vineyard itself is the people of Israel, and the tenants, they're the religious leaders of the day. The religious leaders were listening to Jesus and were part of the audience when he told this parable. Everybody who heard the parable could identify the different elements because Isaiah, back in the Old Testament, had used the same picture. And I read from Isaiah chapter 5. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it, and he hewed out a wine vat in it, and he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. Jesus builds on the imagery from that passage in Isaiah 5, that God had done everything he could for his people. In the Sunday morning Bible study, we just covered the crossing of the Red Sea, where God had delivered his people from slavery in Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea, would take them down to Mount Sinai, teach them what it meant to live as a community of God, and gave them the commandments, and would then lead them to the promised land. God had done everything that he could for the people. But he says the judgment is going to fall on Judah. The hearers of the parable knew that in 586 BC, the Babylonians came, conquered Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and took the people into exile. But because of God's amazing grace, he brought back the people from exile in about 70 years, where they rebuilt the temple. That's what we're studying Thursday morning, by the way, in the men's Bible studies, the book of Ezra. When they come back from the exile, find the temple in ruins, and the book of Ezra is about them rebuilding the temple. The vineyard in Jesus' parable reminded the people of the vineyard in Isaiah 5. It was a prophecy of rebuke and judgment. In Jesus' parable, the vineyard's not exactly a shining example of faithfulness. Jesus summarizes hundreds of years of history in these words. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Jesus is bringing new characters to the story of Isaiah 5, and the new characters are the servants. They're sent to collect what is due to the owners. In Jesus' parable, the servants are the prophets of the Old Testament, all the messengers that God had sent. The prophets called the people to repentance and called the people to faithfulness. And what did they do to the prophets? They beat, they mistreated, and they killed them. They grumbled against Moses. I love the story throughout the book of Exodus and in the book of Numbers when they're going to the promised land, again and again the people complained to Moses and said, why did you bring us out in this desert to kill us here? Which, by the way, I've never quite understood. After God had sent the 10 plagues in Egypt, had delivered them through the Red Sea, had provided manna in the desert, you think they would trust God that he didn't bring them out into the desert to die. But anyways, they grumbled against Moses. They didn't listen to Elijah, Isaiah, or Jeremiah. The kings, the priests, the false prophets rejected them. And in Jesus' story, it's a parable of a historical record. What's amazing in this parable is the owner of the vineyard let it go on so long. After the first servant was turned away, or say the third one, when they wounded him and cast him out of the vineyard, I would have sent in the troops to clear out the vineyard to get rid of the tenants. That's about how long my patience would have lasted. But yet the owner of the vineyard shows an incredible amount of patience. That's the patience of God. Though sometimes he has to deal with rebellious people. Most amazing in the story is after they had mistreated the servants, he said, I will send my son. Perhaps they will respect him. We see the reception that Jesus gets. The religious leaders of the day rejected Jesus and hated him. The parable of the tenants of the vineyard was told during Holy Week, just prior to the crucifixion. And Jesus' enemies were plotting against him. But he knew exactly what they were thinking. He speaks what's in their minds. But when the tenants saw him, referring to the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours. The religious leaders wanted to get rid of Jesus. He was ruining their power over the people. The people weren't going to the religious leaders for answers or for healing. They were going to Jesus. And they figured if we get rid of Jesus, we can get back to business as it's always been. And they wanted to kill him. And that's exactly what would happen in a couple of days. In the parable, and they threw him, the son, out of the vineyard and killed him. Good Friday, they hand Jesus over to Pontius Pilate, and they demand crucifixion. Jesus says in the parables, what then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He says he will destroy the tenants and give it to others. That's exactly what happened 40 years later in 70 A.D., when the Jews revolted against Rome. Now that took courage, by the way. Little bitty Israel revolting against the might of the Roman Empire and thinking they're going to win. But that's a story for another day. The Romans destroyed Jerusalem and they destroyed the temple, which in 2,000 years has never been rebuilt. The parable is about the unbelieving people in Jerusalem. They rejected the Messiah. And Jesus says that the vineyard will be turned over to others. That's the New Testament church. That's us. In the early church, it was both Jew and Gentile. We are God's vineyard. And again, God calls us back to himself. He calls us to repentance, and he calls us to faithfulness. Will we humbly read and hear his word? The parable of the vineyard is a warning against going God's word or message going in one ear and coming out the other ear. Not to harden our hearts to his message. When you know you are a sinner, why resist the word? God is patient. He is long-suffering with us. He doesn't strike us down as we deserve. Jesus took the punishment that we deserve. He won for us forgiveness. Forgiveness of our sins And since we have been joined together with him through baptism and faith, we will enjoy the great inheritance. Yes, we are the other tenants. Yes, he will give us everything necessary to be faithful. He gives us the word and he gives us the sacraments. And he still continues to call us back to him again, where he will forgive our sins. He will give us the inheritance of the Son. And he will give us life together and forever with Christ and with all of God's people. Take hold of this promise, for this is what the owner of the vineyard will do. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.